Praise the Lord. It is good again to get together around the Word of God. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to have an open Bible. There have been times in life where people didn't have the Word of God written out so they could read. But today, we're blessed. We're a blessed people who can open up a free Bible and read and get educated, but also inspired. And I pray that you will inspire us today so that we can see the continuation of our little thought, how that you sent them saviors. Amen. We are back on our little subject. And I want to open up today with this little scripture that we mentioned yesterday in Judges chapter 2, verse 10. And it says there, "And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them that knew not Jehovah, nor yet the work which he had wrought for Israel." Amen. So in our little thought, the main context and understanding that I want to bring out is that God, in his eternal spirit, all the power he has, even before the foundation of the world, when he laid out the plan to redeem mankind back to God, he had it all figured out already. So he was thinking in his own spirit, because he didn't have anyone else to communicate with, and he made that great plan. We have already had two services about this, so I'm not going to repeat myself, but I want to look into this. Since God saw that man would not be able to hold on to the original word that was spoken by God, then he made a plan that he would, in certain times, according to his will, re-establish the connection between him and mankind in such a way that the people would have something handfast, something concrete to look at, so that they could keep and renew their statement, their walk, their relationship with God Almighty. So therefore, when we look at that scripture, that there rose up another generation that did not know God. They didn't know Jehovah. And that is very specific. I wondered about that, because we can see Israel for 40 years, they were walking in the wilderness, and they had God on the agenda all the time. From they passed through the Red Sea until they walked over the River of Jordan 40 years later, the Spirit of God was there. They had a pillar of cloud at day. They had a pillar of fire at night. So Israel could peep outside their tent, wherever they were, in the wilderness of those days, and they would see a manifestation of God. But even if they saw that, they still disobeyed him. They could not say, amen, yes, we can do it. We are able because we have God with us. They were reasoning around the natural circumstances. They were in lack of water. They didn't have food, so they were asking for bread. And God provided every day everything that they needed for 40 years. And still, after that, when they came into the promised land, and the old leaders like Joshua and his family and generation, when that generation died out, here the scriptures goes, there arose another generation that did not know the Lord or Jehovah. That's something to think about. Because they could read the law. They could hear the stories about what had happened over the 40 years in the wilderness, but it was not enough to keep them close to the Lord. And they started worshiping other gods. They started serving Balaam, and on and on. So therefore, when it provoked the Lord, he let enemies come into the land to provoke their lives. Why did enemies come into the land? It's not that God wanted enemies to live in the land, but he wanted to provoke, he wanted to challenge them so that they would not linger towards Balaam or other gods, but that they would start to seek God. But when the people have started going their own ways, there is only one way for God to renew the commitment with Israel as he started out in the beginning. So therefore, he had the great plan. And even before the foundation of the world, that plan was laid out. But now when you go to Judges, chapter 3, verse 9 to 11, we find out, and I will read it there. And when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, Jehovah raised up a savior to the children of Israel. Remember the text, the title of this little message? He sent them saviors. All right? So here in verse 9, Jehovah raised up a savior to the children of Israel. Who saved them? Even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the Spirit of Jehovah came upon him, and he judged Israel, and he went out to war. And Jehovah delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim, and the land had rest for 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So here, we're finding out that when Israel was on their way out into worshiping idols, false gods, God had a plan of rescue. The great rescue plan, of course, is to bring in his beloved son, Jesus Christ. But since that was still way up the road, because here we're talking about 13 and 1200 years before Christ, and no nation would be able to hold on to that old promise that God gave to Abraham around 1800 years before Christ and stay with that and live with that intimately close to the Lord, because there was so much pressure from this world. And the natural things, the five senses that we have their cravings. And Satan knew how to put a desire for those cravings so that the people would start looking away from the Lord and into a different way and different realm. So he sent them a savior, Othniel. Then when you read Judges chapter 3, verse 15 to 18, we will see here, "But when the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah, Jehovah raised them up a savior, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, a man left-handed, and the children of Israel sent tribute by him to Eglon, the king of Moab," because then was the time where Moab was ruling over the people of Israel. And in verse 16, "And Ehud made him a sword which had two edges, a cubic in length, and he girded it under his raiment upon his right thigh. And he offered tribute to Eglon, the king of Moab. And Eglon was a very fat man. And when he had made an end of the offering of the tribute, he sent away the people that he bared the tribute." All right, I'll stop reading and just paraphrase. Because Eglon, the king of Moab, he was ruling with a very tough and hard hand over the children of Israel. But Ehud, the son of Gera, he received an inspiration from the Lord to go and kill the king of Moab. And that caused Israel to raise up a resistance against the Moabites. And they were able to keep peace in Israel and closest to the Lord because God sent them a savior. And then in Judges chapter 3, verse 31, "And after him, after Ehud, came Shamgar, the son of Anath, who smote the Philistines of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goat, and he also saved Israel." So here you see, in times, this is the book of Judges, where we don't read about Moses anymore, or Joshua, or the old patriarchs. We read about men that pops up in the midst of hardship when Israel is under for their enemies. And now God sends saviors into the midst of the people to save them out of their predicament so that they can renew their oaths with the Lord. Then we go to Judges chapter 4, verse 3 to 9. "And the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah." I'll stop here. Remember though, I am not talking about all the time where Israel backslid and started going downhill again. It's automatic. After a savior, the people got slack in their mind, and they started looking for other ways to worship, like another type of security. But I start here with a new refreshing inspiration that God will put upon Israel. All right. "So the children of Israel cried unto Jehovah because he had 900 chariots of iron and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel." All right, so here, Israel now is pressured in such a tremendous way that they don't know what to do. But then there was a woman, Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth. She judged Israel at that time. And she went under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. So God didn't have even a man at that time that were willing to go the whole way with him. So God chose for himself a woman that were not afraid of anything. And she was sitting there judging Israel. They came to her for help. And then she sent a word to a man called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kedesh, Naphtali. And she said to him, "Hath not Jehovah, the God of Israel, commanded, saying, Go and draw unto Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitudes, and I will deliver him into thy hand." So in the days of Deborah, there was a man called Sisera, and he was a cruel character. You can read a story about him in the same book, in the same chapter, and how that he tried his level best to make the people serve another god. But Barak, he was a different character. He was afraid. So in verse 8, he says, "And Barak said to her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, I will not go." And she said, "I surely will be going with you. Notwithstanding, the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor. For Jehovah will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kedesh. So the story here, Israel is on its way downhill again, leaving the Lord, his closeness, and the Lord sends in an enemy to wake up the spirit of the Israelites, to help them understand if they want to live under the knife or the pressure or their enemies, well, please do whatever. But I want to inspire you to come close to me again. Therefore, he pops down and he anoints Deborah and he anoints Barak so that they can defeat the enemy. All right? So here we have another session or story how God raised up a savior. Then we have chapter 6, Judges, chapter 6. And Jehovah sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, and he said unto them, "Thus saith the Lord Jehovah, the God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hands of the Egyptians, and out of the hands of all that oppressed you, and drove them out from before you. And I gave you their land. And I said to you, I am Jehovah your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not hearkened unto my voice." And then starts the story of another great savior. And the angel of Jehovah came and sat under the oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon was beating out the wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. This was the story where the Midianites was terrorizing Israel. They burnt down their fields so they couldn't have food, and so forth. But when the angel of Jehovah appeared to him, and he said, Jehovah is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if Jehovah is with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where are all his wondrous works, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not Jehovah bring us up from Egypt? But now Jehovah has cast us off and delivered us into the hand of Midian. I'll stop there. Gideon, he is telling the angel that he have heard all the stories, how they went through out of Egypt, saved from Pharaoh, went through the Red Sea, 40 years in the wilderness. That was baked into the nature of the Israelites. But it wasn't enough, because it was only history. God, he needs to be with them and inside to be a blessing to the people. But then the people will have to turn to him so that he can bless them. And now when you go to verse 14, in the former verses, it speaks about how that an angel of the Lord spoke to Gideon. But in verse 14, the picture changes. It's still the angel, but now the angel says, and Jehovah looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and shall save Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent thee? And he said to him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is the poorest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. And Jehovah said to him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. All right. So here we read the part where God is inspiring different men, and it is the word of God that says, he sent them saviors. I want to go to another scripture, the last one that I will read today. It is written in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27 to 31. Let's read that one also. Therefore, thou deliverest them into the hand of their adversaries, who distress them. And in the time of their trouble, when they cried unto thee, thou hearest from heaven, and according to thy manifold mercies, you gave them saviors who saved them out of the hands of their adversaries. This 27th verse speaks about how God delivers them into distress first, so they should have a wake-up call. What am I doing? Why is everything against me? And they say, oh my, I left my Lord. That's the reason. And the Lord starts sparking a desire in their heart so that he can appear to them again. And he gave them saviors to save them out of the hands of their adversaries. Verse 28. But after they had rest, they did evil again before thee. Therefore left thou them in the hands of their enemies, so that they would have dominion over them. Yet when they returned and cried to thee thou heardst them from heaven, and many times did thou deliver them according to thy mercies, and testifiedst against them, that thou mightst bring them again unto thy law. Yet they dealt proudly, and hearkened not unto thy commandments, but sinned against thy ordinances. Which is a man do, he shall live by them if he keep them. And withdrew the shoulder, and hardened their neck, and would not hear. Yet many years didst thou bear with them, and testified against them by thy spirit, and through thy prophets. Yet would they not give ear. Therefore gavest thou them into the hands of the people of the lands. Nevertheless, in thy manifold mercies, those did not make full end of them, nor forsake them. For thou art a gracious and merciful God. Well, the part that I read today was really to look into the scriptures of the Old Testament, how that God had placed saviors. He rose up men in specific critical times. So, when they were in slavery under their enemies, that they would have an inspirational thought that they were brought out of Egypt. They were brought through the Red Sea and 40 years in the wilderness, and they came into the new land. And if we stay with the Lord and keep our commandments the Lord has given us, then we will be a prosperous nation and God will be with us. But over time, it shows that when people don't have vision, they don't have a live administration before them, then they lose sight of the promises. Hey, the promises are always there, but not always are people looking at the promises. They look at the circumstances around them, and they judge things by that. And then they fall by the wayside, and the Lord have to pick them up again. He have to send them a Savior so that they would understand God is still with them, and he will help them so that they can fulfill the part that he had planned before the foundation of the world. Well, brothers and sisters, I think that's enough for today. May the Lord bless you in a mighty way. We will continue our thought and hopefully have a positive outcome of what is it to receive a Savior for your day. Heavenly Father, bless my brothers and sisters so that they can walk with you and be close with you. Even if they feel something is dried up, we don't see a vision or whatever it is, but that we, instead of falling by the wayside, stay firmly with the word that you have laid out before us so we can continue and finish the work that you have set for our day. That's my prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you all.